Hello, it's Wednesday, March 8th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. Before we get started today, Lisa's been digging her heels in and getting a word out about this petition for the Scholars for 9/11 Truth. And I'll tell you, the strides she's making are amazing. So Lisa, fill them in.
When I signed the petition yesterday, I was number 178. I signed in all uppercase letters, loud and proud, for 9/11 Truth. I urge everybody to do the same. Today, right now, before the show, I checked the numbers. It was at 762. I've spent many, many hours emailing various venues, internet sites, over 360 internet groups. Plus, I've gone beyond the box, contacted the publisher of our local newspaper here, sent the press release about the petition to them. Also, the New York City Police Department, New York City Fire Department, various 9/11 family groups like the Coalition of 9/11 Families, the Voices of September 11th, and other advocacy groups. I urge you all to do the same. Send it everywhere, all around. This is priority one, important.
Yeah, and as we said yesterday, we don't usually sign petitions, but being that it's originating from the Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which we feel is the best opportunity right now to get the truth out about this horrible event in a big way, to get it into Washington, D.C., to get some kind of legal action. This is our best bet right now. They want 10,000 signatures, which they think is a significant enough number to start going out and say, look at this. Just off of this little drive we're doing, we got 10,000 signatures. So we're gonna have a post on our homepage at the bottom of the right hand column going straight to the Scholars for 9/11 Truth. And you know, to quadruple this in just one day is quite a statement.
Well, it's good, but it's not good enough. And so we urge you, send it to everyone you know. Get other people to sign it. Talk to people about it. All of you have been talking amongst yourselves for all these years. Now you need to branch out. We can't just limit this to the internet chat rooms and discussion forums that you're all used to frequenting. And if you don't know the website, it is scholarsfor911truth.org.
Right. And it just boils down to Vinny Sammartino is the one that came up with the idea to do it all in capital letters. So now as Lisa looks over the list, she can tell the people that are the ones that are like John Hancock. And if you're afraid to put your name on it, all we can say is, was John Hancock afraid to put his name on the document he signed in capital letters?
No, and I do want to say thank you to all the people that have signed it thus far. And I've been working at this today from 4:30 this morning and many hours yesterday, and I'm going to keep at it. And I know that a lot of people aren't going to help us, but I know that a lot of you out there do give a damn, and you are going to help us, and you have.
Right.
So just keep up the good work.
And it's the ones out there that desperately want the truth to come out. Those are the ones that are signing this and spreading it around to more people. So we just want to congratulate all of you.
Absolutely.
If we can keep quadrupling this every day, there'll be a 10,000 by the end of next week.
Yeah, people, there's no reason why we shouldn't get 10,000 names. There are 300 million Americans in this country, and there's thousands of you on this internet running these conspiracy circles, frequenting these political talk radio websites and whatnot. There's thousands of you out there. We could definitely do this number.
Yeah, and Lisa is leaving no stone unturned,
nope.
So she needs a pat on the back,
no,
too.
No, we just need 10,000 signatures.
That's right. Now, we want to thank someone named Martin. And if it's the Martin we think of, thank you. If it's a different Martin, thank you still. They sent us a documentary, which was made last year. It's called Why We Fight. It was directed by a man named Eugene Jarecki. And what this documentary is billed as is the documentary that Americans aren't allowed to see. And after we watched it last night, we know why. It was unbelievable.
It just left us unable to speak. And it didn't even get into all this stuff about 9/11. I mean, the most it touched about 9/11 was that the government lied, that George Bush lied about Iraq's involvement with regard to 9/11. But it didn't even touch all this other stuff that's been going on.
And when it was over, we just sat there. We couldn't move. And I actually looked around a little bit this morning for a couple minutes to see where we can get this, but I really didn't get a handle on it. So I'm not sure where people can find this. It's called Why We Fight. And it's disturbing beyond words. And as Lisa said, without even going into the 9/11 stuff, what it boils down to is it examined the military-industrial complex. Mm-hmm. And the documentary started with a clip of then-President Dwight Eisenhower giving his farewell speech on national television.
His farewell address.
And he told the American people in no uncertain terms, be very wary of what's called the military-industrial complex.
Uh-huh.
And what's happened is, first of all, we didn't heed his warning. I think, actually, John Kennedy began to, towards the end of his presidency, by trying to get our troops out of Vietnam. Well, we saw what happened then. He got a bullet in his head.
Yeah.
Many bullets.
You know, some of the most disturbing moments in this video, I thought, were the moments when John McCain, that worm, was talking about Dick Cheney. And then he got a phone call from Dick Cheney, and you should have seen, it was like almost the color drained from his face, and he looked like he was about to have an accident on himself.
Yeah.
And then Richard Pearl.
Oh, my God. Yeah. They don't call this man the Prince of Darkness for nothing. He might be the most evil man I've ever seen speak in my life.
Yeah.
That's how evil he is.
William Crystal also was on there. If you're not familiar with the Project for a New American Century, type PNAC into Google and have your eyes opened.
Yeah, and getting back to Pearl, I saw Dick Cheney speak once live right before the 2000 election, and we've spoken about this on the show before. When me and my buddy left that hall, we agreed that we'd never been around such a presence of evil ever. But seeing Richard Pearl on the television, it was he was as blatant can be about saying, this is what we're doing, and what are you going to do to stop it?
He said that the people that are saying that a handful of individuals have hijacked the government are silly to think that if Bush and the rest of this administration get out of office, that it's going to go back to the way it was before. He said, that's just silly.
Yeah, now think about that. Yeah. Think about how ballsy that is.
Yeah.
Here's Richard Pearl.
Arrogant.
Yeah, arrogant. He's a member, a longtime attendee of the Bilderberg meetings. And I think he really is the face of what a Bilderberg-type personality is.
Yeah. In other words, this country is permanently changed. Our government is permanently changed. And it's not going to go back to the way it was before, regardless of whether Bush sits in the White House or not. Also that was brought up, too, was somebody said, I can't remember who on the show said it, but this is what you get with regarding Dick Cheney. When you elect a government contractor as the vice president of the United States.
Yeah, that was Charles Lewis. And he said, we elected a government contractor as vice president. And what Lisa was touching upon with Pearl saying that just because you might get Bush and neocons out of office, things aren't going to change. Well, they had a graphic on the screen, and I think from like 1940 until the current day, they showed all of the different skirmishes, wars, invasions, and on that America has unilaterally been involved in, and it never stopped. It was just boom, 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 right down the line. So we can't just blame this on a Republican or on a neocon or on George Bush, because if you go back to Bill Clinton, he was doing the same thing. Jimmy Carter, Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson with Vietnam, and on and on and on. And what Pearl was essentially saying was is that we have control of your government, this military-industrial complex, and regardless of what stooge administration we put in power, we're still going to pull the strings.
It's very unsettling to see how many people this documentary producer questioned regarding why we fight, why we occupy other nations, why we have troops in other countries. And people now don't have a very clear sense of why we are in these other countries. Yeah. A lot of them think it's for freedom, to spread democracy, but the experts that were questioned on this show or were brought out said it absolutely doesn't have anything to do with spreading democracy or freedom in other nations.
It goes back to the defense contractors. Yeah. This is business, and it's kind of ironic because this morning I was talking to someone visiting State College, PA, where we live, and he was an engineer for a defense contractor.
Uh-huh.
And so I started talking to him, and at one point I said, well, there's plenty of business for you guys to go around these days, isn't it? And he kind of laughed, and he says, yeah, business is good these days. And it...
That's what they were saying on that documentary, too. They're like salesmen, like car salesmen.
Yeah. War is now a commodity. It's like a product.
Right.
And the U.S. government, when you look at all the congressmen, and they said they've been very diligent in making sure that the B-2 bomber, that every one of the 50 states has some type of affiliation to the B-2 bomber. So if someone comes around and says, we want to get rid of the B-2 bomber, you have now support from all 50 states to keep it in existence, because if they do away with it, then they'll say, well, this state here is going to lose 700 jobs. This state here is going to lose 4,000 jobs, and on. So they've made it so the congressmen, plus they're the ones getting all the PAC money, the campaign money, and so forth.
Right.
And it's become a business, a corrupt business of war.
Yeah. Also, they had this, I guess, Korean woman who makes bombs, who makes explosives. She's in the explosives business, and she was a refugee. She started talking about when she was a child how she was a refugee, and she understands the pain of war. But yet she grows up and comes to America and makes missiles and bombs.
She was
Can you even believe?
She was one of the ones whose family was killed in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And she comes to America, she survives the Vietnam War, and now she's working in one of these munitions factories making bombs.
Another part of that documentary...
So she can go kill other families.
Yeah, yeah. That totally makes sense, doesn't it? Another part of that documentary, we got to listen to the words of a 9/11 victim family member.
A policeman.
A retired New York City police officer who saw the towers get hit from... while he was sitting on the train on 9/11, 2001, and his son was killed. And so he was enraged, and he wanted revenge, and he actually contacted the military and got his son's name put on a missile. And they got back to him and said 100% success, and, you know, sent pictures of his son's name on the missile, and they exploded it over Iraq and all this. And
but then he finds out... Yeah.
That this whole thing with Iraq, the link between Iraq and 9/11 is a lie, and you should have seen the look on this man's face.
He was pissed beyond words, and I was telling Lisa,
he doesn't even know the whole story
of it about 9/11, and I said, you know what, if this guy found out the truth, he might die on the spot.
Yeah, and what I said was, how do you tell a man like that?
Yeah.
After going through this and this total disillusionment, when he finds out the president lied, he said, if you can't trust the president of the United States, who can you trust?
Well, we haven't been able to trust the president for 40 years
Welcome to the 21st century. Yeah.
Another thing that I found striking was that Eugene Jarecki went over to Iraq, to these places that were being bombed, and he was interviewing the people, and he was asking them some questions about U.S. policy and so forth, and a gentleman says, we're illiterate people here. He says, we don't even know how to read. And then he went on to explain their views. But it hit me that when you go back to Vietnam, when you go back to Korea, when you look in Afghanistan, probably the poorest nation in the world, and now Iraq, we're bombing and killing the poorest people in the world.
In fact, they showed a morgue man in Iraq, and he showed Jarecki his books. And he went down the list, civilian,
student,
child. I mean, all the way, of all these dead people, and they had dead people laying on the ground, stacked inside this morgue room.
Well, it wasn't even a morgue. It was just like a cement room.
Yeah.
They called a morgue.
Right, that they're using as a morgue. And it's just chilling how many civilians have been killed with these precision, smart missiles.
Yeah. Well, when they went down to books, they deduced that 90% of the dead in this one cement morgue weren't army people. Mm-hmm. They were civilians. They were innocent people. But with all of this in mind, here's something that I told Lisa after the documentary was over. I said, I'd almost bet that this documentary was done by the people in control.
Yeah, because we were wondering, how did they get these interviews with people like Richard Pearl, William Crystal, and various other people like John McCain? How did they get this footage that they had within this documentary?
Direct interviews with these
people. Yeah, it was like a controlled...
Controlled opposition. Plus, they had all this footage from the libraries of the Navy and the Army mm-hmm. and the Air Force and so forth. Just think if we tried to go and get this kind of footage. Would they let us in there? And the reason I think that this is still controlled opposition is that the people who run the world need control of both parties. And they need both sides of the aisle to become enraged at certain times. So, with the Republicans in power right now, they have to keep the Democrats enraged so that when the time comes to put their next Democrat in power, they can have the forces mobilized. So they put out this documentary here that's very much anti-war, anti-Republican, anti-neocon, and so forth. But if they get a Democrat in office, they'll do the same thing on the other side.
Right.
You know, so they're really, you know, playing both ends against the middle. And also, you can tell that it's controlled opposition because they never touched upon any of the truth about the pivotal event.
Right.
9/11.
Basically, the only thing that they came out about was that there was no connection between Iraq, Saddam Hussein, and 9/11.
Yeah.
But that is not, by far, the only lie that's been told.
Exactly.
By far. And keep in mind what Richard Pearl said. When George Bush and his administration leave this White House, it's not going to go back to
right.
the way it was before.
And see, that's what boggles my mind, is that there's a lot of people on the internet that being that they lean to the left, that they're Democrats, that they're thinking that all of a sudden, when 2008 comes, and if they bump, you know, the Republicans out of office and the neocons, that all of a sudden the sun's going to rise and the flowers
yeah.
are going to grow and everything's going to be fine.
And you know something? I urge you to find this video
yeah.
and watch it and take a look at the expression on his face and the tone of his voice when he says that. Very smug.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we notice also that, go back to John Kerry in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
His war policy was virtually identical to George Bush's. Now we have Hillary Clinton, who all of a sudden, in the snap of a finger, became a warmonger.
Right. In fact, they made that point in the documentary that if you're not pro the defense contractors and the military-industrial complex, you don't stand a chance,
right.
and you're targeted as an enemy.
And that's not only in the government, it's also in the media.
Yeah.
You know? So it's very, very intriguing. It's called, one more time, Why We Fight, directed by Eugene Jarecki. I don't know where to find it, but go on the internet. If you can find a place that distributes it, let us know about it. And I wanted to touch upon a couple other things. This morning I heard on the radio that George Bush is asking Congress for $19 billion more for Katrina relief, okay? This is going to bring the total now.
Who's getting the relief? Didn't we already establish that
yeah.
the money's not getting to the people it needs to get to?
This is going to bring the total, Lisa, to $88 billion. And I just saw in a magazine recently pictures of New Orleans that were recently taken. And the
doesn't
cities,
look much better than Iraq, does it?
For $88 billion, I think I could
yeah.
build the whole world. You know? I mean, this is just another freaking scam job that's being pulled. $88 billion, not $88 million.
And it's in your face.
Yeah. And so he's asking for $19 billion more to go down the funnel. You know, like Ross Perot used to say, that big
how
sucking
he's got
sound.
The gall to ask for even one penny more
yeah.
is beyond belief.
It is. Now, down in Texas, all the good people in Texas, yet Tom DeLay, this scumbag crook in the recent primary won.
He won?
For the Republican Party. So now he's going to run in the fall for his seat back. How can the people of Texas, the Republicans in Texas, I should say, how could anybody, even one person, put an X beside the name of Tom DeLay?
It's incredible. So a good, honest, law-abiding person doesn't stand a rat's chance in hell to get into a position in the government. And look at these crooks and criminals. They get promoted.
Yeah, yeah. And DeLay's about as bad as they come.
Promoted and reelected.
Yeah, the only one worse is probably that Randy Duke Cunningham out in San Diego, who luckily he's getting his ass thrown in jail. But I was appalled that even one person in the state of Texas could punch a hole with Tom DeLay's name. It's just beyond my belief. And now tomorrow, one of the topics we're going to discuss, Lisa, is Dick Cheney. And we're going to run an article about him, and it's kind of a prediction that I see coming, in that after the fall election, Cheney's going to be bumped. And it's going to unravel. We'll unravel the whole scenario for you. But it's very intriguing. And you know when people make predictions, they want to be right about them, don't they?
Uh-huh.
At the end of my article, I say, pray to God that I'm wrong. And I hope that I'm wrong about this. Because if I'm right, what awaits us is even worse than what we have now, if that's any way possible. So
listen, it's important that you send this petition around, the Scholars for 9/11 Truth petition. All these things that we've been talking about, they stem back to that pivotal day in our history, 9/11/2001.
Right. We have momentum right now, and we have to thank everybody out there because the amount of emails we've been getting after our Monday show, where we came out and were telling and describing our outrage with the alternative media, all these different radio show hosts and sites that are refusing to cover these pivotal events.
Yeah.
And we're going to have more about this in the future, believe us. And
we just want you all to know that we really appreciate all of the emails that we've been getting from people telling us very kind things and really expressing their support. It's because of people like you that we still do what we do. And don't worry, we're not going to quit. We're not tired of doing the right thing. We're just tired.
Yeah, and people are becoming active. They're writing to Alex Jones and saying, I've now dropped my subscription because you refuse to cover these events. They're dropping their GCN subscriptions. They're saying they'll never tune in to GCN again because these individuals aren't covering the big events. And that's what we're talking about, and we couldn't be prouder because right now, as we've said, if you think that the future of this country rests upon these heroes of the alternative media, you're sadly mistaken. The future of this country rests on your shoulders.
Yours, and ours.
Yeah, because they're not doing it. And we just want to thank everyone.
It doesn't take a majority. It takes a tireless minority.
Yeah.
Keen to set brush fires in people's minds. So set some brush fires in people's minds. We've been doing it for years. It's fun.
Right. So anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about Dick Cheney and whatever else is on our plate. Keep up the good work out there. And most importantly, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all tomorrow.